Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And as we do every Tuesday morning at 7 o'clock, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Caroline Fitton from Stillman & Company and Southeastern Carolines as well. Caroline, good morning. How are we doing?
Good morning. I'm great. How are y'all?
We're awesome. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. So, Caroline, you were down there for Tennessee and LSU. It did not go overly well for your beloved Tigers. But what was the experience like being down in that game and that atmosphere for the Vols and the Tigers?
It was definitely – I mean, I had a great time. I was so happy to be back. Saw my friends, went to my favorite places that I haven't been to in a few years. The experience was definitely different from an 11 o'clock game. You know, I would say, you know, let's say that, you know, nighttime Alabama or Ole Miss game is like a 10. This was like a 1.5. So I apologize to any Vol fans who went and were underwhelmed by the tailgating scene, because, you know, the early game is definitely a different experience, but a great experience nonetheless. I had a not-so-fun time during the game, though. One, because I was sitting in the Tennessee section, surrounded by orange, and I was the only... Actually, if you're watching the game, you could see me for like 0.5 seconds. I'm standing there with my arms crossed, looking absolutely pissed, because I was. And I am I am in a sea of orange, wearing like a tiger print dress. So I stuck out like a sore thumb. But that was just about the worst game that LSU could have played. And I point to Brian Kelly and the rest of the coaching staff because of it, because I think it came down to coaching decisions. And all credit to Tennessee. Tennessee played a great game. LSU made a lot of mistakes, and Tennessee capitalized off of them from the very first second of the game, whenever Jack Besh, LSU's kick returner, muffed the kickoff. And also when Brian Kelly made the decision to get the ball first and didn't just defer. And I disagree with that decision for so many reasons. First and foremost, because LSU has proven to be a second-half team. LSU has proven all season long that they can go down 17-0 like they did against Auburn and come back and scratch and claw their way back in the second half. So why not just get the ball first in the second half whenever that's you when you've been scoring? So I digress. But, yeah, overall, just probably one of the worst decisions. You know, some bad decisions being made throughout that game. You know, some bad mistakes, dropped balls, missed coverage, bad tackling on LSU's part. So just pretty much overall a bad game all around for LSU. And, you know, Tennessee showed out. It traveled very well. Tennessee played a great game. Tennessee is a good team, and they played that way on Saturday, and they proved they could do it on the road.
Yeah, it's nice of you to apologize to the Tennessee fans, but based on how they were acting in that southeast end zone late in the game, I think they're cool.
Yeah, they're fine.
I think they had a good day.
I think they're fine.
Yeah, and they were chanting, "We want Bama. We want Bama." Chants were they were loud late in that game. So let's get right to it, Caroline. We all expect Bryce Young to play. I don't know that like the rankings mean much. Although Alabama, I'm sure, will mention that they dropped to number 3 in the AP poll. You know, even though they didn't have Bryce Young in the heart stopper against Texas A&M. Can Tennessee beat Alabama?
Well, yeah, you said they were chanting, "We want Bama." Tennessee fans asking, "You shall receive," because that is exactly what you get.
That's right.
I think that Bryce Young being back makes it so much more interesting. If Jalen Milroe was starting that game, I would say Tennessee, I would feel pretty confident in that. I mean, you look at the Texas A&M game, they turned the ball over 4 times, and Jalen Milroe was responsible for 3 of those, 2 fumbles and an interception. And Jalen Milroe also just doesn't have that passing threat that Bryce Young provides. He doesn't have that ability to say, "Hey, I can take the ball, the game into my hands, and I can win this game," like you saw him do against Texas. So I think that adds a completely different element to it. Can Tennessee beat Alabama? Yeah, absolutely. If they can force turnovers, and if they can make Alabama make mistakes like Texas did, whenever they were forcing Alabama to create mistakes and commit penalties, I think Tennessee can. Because I think that Tennessee has proven if you give them an inch, you know, a turnover or a penalty, or, you know, you give them yards or you give up yards, Tennessee's going to take a mile. They're going to be able to capitalize off of that. I think this game being at home also kind of works in Tennessee's favor. Overall, if Bryce Young does play, though, which I think that we're all expecting, like you said, Joe, think that's going to be really difficult on this secondary, a pass defense that has proven, you know, it's not great. It's Tennessee's clear weakness. Jaden Daniels threw for 300 yards on Saturday. He has done that since November of 2019. He hasn't even come close to that stat line so far this season. You know, you look at Anthony Richardson throwing for 450 yards, which is insane for any quarterback, especially considering that's a quarterback that hadn't thrown for a single passing touchdown until they played Tennessee, and he threw for two. So that secondary is going to have their hands full with Bryce Young. I also think there's a certain mental element to this game that Alabama has been through so many times. And Nick Saban has gotten his team prepared for so many times. This is Tennessee's biggest game under Josh Heupel. And I've said that, I think, three times so far this season with Florida and LSU and now with Alabama. But now the stakes are even bigger. The stakes get even bigger week after week, and it's Alabama, and it's at home. It's College Game Day. It's SEC Nation, so on and so forth. So the stakes are really big. And I do wonder, okay, how is the mental aspect of, oh, my gosh, we're playing Alabama. Oh, my gosh, we're undefeated. Oh, my gosh, we really are at the forefront of college football right now. I wonder how that fares with this Tennessee team. So can Tennessee beat Alabama? Sure. Do I think they're going to? That's a different conversation.
You're close, though. I mean, you're considering it.
Yeah, I mean, I absolutely do think it's possible. I mean, this Alabama team is not Alabama. You know, it's not the, you know, blow out every single opponent that we play kind of Alabama team. But Alabama finds a way to beat every team that they have played close, Texas and Texas A&M. So I think that this Alabama team is really good and really disciplined despite some of the games that they have played, despite some undisciplined games that they have played. Tennessee is a good team. Tennessee is a disciplined team, and Tennessee has proven that they will beat you up with this offense. It's a completely different offense that I think we've seen a very long time in college football. It's difficult to defend. It's difficult to keep up with. And it's not even just the speed. It's also, you know, the way that Josh Heupel used some of these decoys. It's confusing as a defender to try and stop. I think I saw that so many times in LSU secondary where Tennessee was running the same play several times over and over and over, just with different targets, and LSU's defense wasn't able to catch on to that. I think that Alabama, I mean, they're an elite team. They're a better defense. They're a better team overall than LSU is. So is Alabama going to be able to make those stops that Florida and LSU weren't? Yes, they will. I know that for certain. But Tennessee's going to have their hands full, but I'm not counting out the fact that they could beat Alabama on Saturday.
So, Caroline, to that point, last thing here for you. How big of an opportunity is this for Hendon Hooker specifically? You saw him play in person on Saturday. I thought he was good Saturday, not great, but good on Saturday. But, you know, I don't pay a whole lot of attention to, like, September and October Heisman discussions. But when you start to play against Alabama, that's when things start to shift a little bit for you. How big of an opportunity is this for him specifically coming up on Saturday?
Oh, I mean, this is huge. This is everything for Hendon Hooker. And I think that everyone's on notice now of not just Tennessee's team as a whole, because if you haven't been noticing, then open your eyes. But I think everyone is on notice of Hendon Hooker and how he is the captain of this offense, that he takes this offense into his hands. So I think everyone's on notice. But I think everyone, you know, in terms of the Heisman discussion, it's okay, let me see more. Can you beat Alabama? Can you beat the elite teams? Because if you can't beat Alabama or Georgia, then you're probably not going to be in the Heisman conversation. So that's one thing. Can you beat the big teams? And also, I think that Hendon Hooker, you know, had kind of an emergent Heisman moment against Florida. But I think against Alabama, a game that everyone in college football is going to be watching, all eyes are going to be on that game. Can Hendon Hooker have his quote-unquote Heisman moment? Can he do what he did against Florida, and can he do it against Alabama and you know, really take the game into his hands? That's what I think that a lot of people are looking for with Hendon Hooker, is let's see a little bit more. Let's see you take over the game. Let's see you be able to beat one of the top teams in the country. And I think that's where you're going to start to hear legitimate Heisman conversation. Because, yeah, you're right. In September and October, it's all kind of just fodder. And, you know, players will start to fall as teams start to fall. But this right here, this is, you know, this is big for the Tennessee team as a whole, and also in terms of the Hendon Hooker Heisman conversation.
Caroline Fenton joins us every Tuesday morning at 7 o'clock here on Robbie and Rex Road. You can check out Southeastern Carolines every Saturday morning as well. Caroline, great stuff as always. Thanks for taking time to be with us this morning.
Awesome. Appreciate y'all.
Absolutely. Sure. Caroline Fenton every Tuesday morning at 7 o'clock. We'll take your thoughts on Tennessee and Alabama. There is one part about the game Saturday in terms of the Tennessee fan experience that I'm very interested to get Joe Rexroth's thoughts on something next.
Preds fans, well, hang out before the Preds games at the Superbook Lounge in Landshark Bar and Grill, Margaritaville on Broadway with 102.5-106.3 The Game.
Place your bets with Superbook and enjoy your great food and drink specials. Plus, enter for a chance to win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Preds home game as well. By the way, first Preds home game coming up this Thursday as the Preds take on the Dallas Stars. So looking forward to that. Right now, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Thanks to Caroline Fenton for joining us in the last segment. Joe, you were down there in Baton Rouge along with Caroline for the game this past Saturday. And I will say one thing from the Tennessee, or one thing from the TV broadcast, and one thing from a lot of social media videos that I saw on the always entertaining Vol Twitter after the game, it sure looked like there are a whole lot of Tennessee fans down there at LSU. And look, Tennessee fans have always traveled well, so it's not like this is the first time Tennessee fans have shown up and showed out at a stadium. I didn't expect like an LSU game on the road to look like that with Tennessee fans. And my question to you is, what do you think that means? Is that more to do with LSU right now? Is it more to do with Tennessee right now? And has this fan base, who we've talked about several times, has been just absolutely starving for a winner, no matter what it is, baseball, basketball, but especially with football. Do you think the sleeping giant, quote-unquote, has been officially awoken with what Josh Heupel and this Tennessee team have done thus far this year at number 6 in the country?
Well, I mean, Katie and I in New Orleans couldn't get away from, like, loud, drunken Rocky Top renditions in every bar there, too. It's like, geez.
Joe, you're a everywhere. Part of it. You're a part of it, Joe.
I did not sing, but we both did agree that, like, it's a great song. Just, I hate the woo, man. I hate the woo.
Live a little. Come on.
I just, if you took the woo out, it'd be perfect. Woo! Okay. I just don't like it. Anyway, I think it has a lot to do with.
Maybe your worst take ever.
Yeah, well, I like the song. The woo is kind of new, right?
No.
I don't think the woo was there in the 80s.
Is it newer than 1950? Probably, yes.
But, like, it wasn't there in the 80s and 90s, was it?
I think it was. I don't know.
Someone tell me the history of the woo, because I feel like that's more like a 21st century millennial thing, and I'm just an old man yelling at a cloud. But as far as I will tell you, when I got to the stadium Saturday, which, by the way, I think it's a great place, and I'm sure night game's better, I still, to me, Neyland and Sanford are the top two that I've been to in the SEC, but it's a great place. The uppers. And that, see, what that tells me is that, let's also keep in mind, LSU fans, 3 years ago, they had, like, the best team in college football history to watch.
Yeah.
Right? So, although this team has played well and had gotten ranked, they knew this. They know that this team isn't great. So I think the uppers, the fact that the uppers were just basically overtaken by Orange, that was a little bit stunning to me. I was like, geez, like the upper deck is Tennessee.
I know a lot of people that are at this game. I'm so good gracious.
Yeah, so one, it's both. It's like Tennessee fans are rabid for this team, as they should be. So, and I mean, it's a great trip. Like, if you can go to, I mean, what's a better trip? I mean, I would say that, like, a Vanderbilt trip is pretty great, too, because you have Nashville. But what's a better trip than, like, you go to LSU and also you're now an hour from New Orleans, right? So it's a great trip, but I think the combination of Tennessee fans being rabid and yeah, a little bit of a soft market for LSU fans for an okay team. And, again, a fan base that has seen the best of the best in recent years. That's what it is. I was surprised, though. I was surprised. And then when you can get to the point where, yeah, it was like third quarter. It was actually like the lead of my column off for The Athletic, because it was like the whole stadium of Brew McCoy, that 48-yard player, was like, Brew. It was like, oh, geez, this whole stadium is Tennessee fans yelling Brew. And then not long after that, it really was only Tennessee fans in the stadium.
Well, it was interesting because, you know, I was watching the game at an establishment, and, you know, obviously I couldn't hear much going on there, but I did notice, like, when Hendon Hooker threw that touchdown pass to Jalen Hyatt in the second quarter, like, he catches the ball in the end zone, and I was looking at a couple of guys I was with. I was like, did you see that end zone? Like, it was nothing but Tennessee fans in the end zone. I was like, what's going on here? Tennessee fans everywhere out there.
I mean, that's the designated area, but even that.
They turned the volume on, and every time Brew McCoy caught the ball, it was just Brew.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, okay.
It's like, gosh.
A lot of Tennessee fans there.
He's been in town for 2 months, folks, and you already get, you know. But that's the thing. If you have a player who has, like, Lou or something like that, it's a great fan chant.
UC Soros?
Yep. Yes, there you go. Yeah, that's their area, but it was still more packed than your usual visiting section area. So, yeah, it was quite a scene. Quite a scene afterward. And, you know, maybe the party ends this Saturday. But until we get a result Saturday, I'm very interested to see, like, what it's like in that stadium and, like, how much can it, if at all, can it, like, top the Florida atmosphere? Well, I don't know.
I can tell you, I was doing some perusing yesterday and this morning, just thinking about, you know, maybe going up there for the game, taking me and the wife and just seeing what happens there. I looked on the secondary ticket market right now. Cheapest one I could find on StubHub is $3.98 a ticket.
Holy crap.
Up top. We're talking up top.
Up top.
$3.98 a ticket.
Incredible, man. Well, and the thing is, this game, in every time I guess how many have I been to? I guess three. Going back to 2016, lots of Bama fans always at this game.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure there will be.
There'll be a good Bama contingent. Yeah.
But you know what? Like, compare the Bama fan traveling for this game to, like, the Tennessee fan traveling to the last game. I mean, Bama fans, I mean, they save their money because they're going to the playoff, right? Yeah. They're going to go to Atlanta, and they're going to go to a semifinal game, and then they have the championship game. You have to, like, account for that, right?
It's part of your budgeting every year.
Yeah, it's like Kentucky basketball fans, like, save up their March. It's like, you know, I mean, it's like
not
they
of
just,
recent.
And then, I mean, the ones from last year, they have a lot more say for this year.
Yeah, that's they're great. Ready to
they
go.
Push, roll
exactly.
That forward. Yeah.
It was a plan, you know.
Thank you, St. Peter's. But but the Tennessee fan, they haven't been, you know, they haven't had anything really. I mean, not anything, but they haven't had anything like this in so long. So I wonder, like, between how intense the Tennessee fans are right now, and plus Bama fans, sure, they'll travel, but I don't think it's going to be some big presence at all of Alabama fans.
I'm sure you'll find a decent number there. I think it will be different than it's been. Like, look, I've been in the stadium before, and this was way back in, like, the Julio days, where you turned around and it was like, you know, it wasn't 50-50 or anything, but you're like, good gracious, there are a lot of Alabama fans in here. And that was back in the early days of Saban.
Well, that's the thing. They were, and that was still like, it was still new and exciting to be that good.
Yeah.
Now it's like, yeah.
And look, you know, I'm sure you could go back to, you know, 2016. Probably a lot of Alabama fans in the building that day, too. I mean, look, there'll be a decent contingent of Alabama fans there, but I will say, like, you know, Tennessee's having the orange out or whatever they're doing for this game. Like, the atmosphere is going to be insane for this. And I don't know what that's going to mean for the result itself. I mean, I was looking on FanDuel the other day, and I don't know where it is right now. I'll look here in just a second. But Alabama was an 8.5-point favorite. That tells me that the sports books expect Bryce Young to play. I think everybody expects Bryce Young to play in this game. We'll see what happens on that front. But this Tennessee fan base, it's been a long time since it's kind of felt like this. We talked about this when they were number one in baseball, like just embracing Tony Vitello and that team. And we talked about it, starving for a winner. That's what they were. This fan base is starving for a winner, and football is always going to be king at Tennessee. And you know, it's the number three team in the country and the number six team in the country. It's been a long time since there's been a matchup like this at Neyland.
Yeah, I mean, when was the last time Tennessee had a game at home where if you win the game, you have to be considered a national championship contender? I mean, I know people are going to laugh.
Well,
but the bottom line is,
if
they win the game, they're going to be top three in the country, and they have one of the other top three still on the schedule. I mean, you have to take them seriously for whatever you want to talk about in college football. When's the last time they had a game at home where that was the reward? Because the Alabama game in 2016, they just lost.
The early 2000s?
Yeah. I mean, they just lost a game to Texas A&M. Like the 0-1 team,
yeah.
You know, that should not have lost to LSU in the title game in Saban, and did. But that's the last. Is that the last great team they've had? I mean, 2007 was good.
That's the last great team they've had, yeah.
You'd call that a great team?
Yeah.
07? Yeah.
No. 01.
Yeah, 01 was a great
07
team.
They were good.
Yeah. 01 was a national championship caliber team.
You can make an argument 01 was better than 98.
98, yeah. So it's just, I mean, it's been a long time. And look, this thing could end up looking like a lot of Tennessee-Alabama games. I will be very, very surprised if it does. I mean, this
meaning dominating Alabama win.
Yeah, just dominating Alabama win. I mean, look, Alabama, the thing that Alabama does, I feel like they do every time against Tennessee, and they do against a lot of teams, they hit those big plays, you know,
yep.
that change games. And they got guys on offense who can absolutely do that to Tennessee. But
they do.
I just, until you show me the defense that just figures this offense out, I'm not going to buy it until I see it. And I know Will Anderson's great, but I think Tennessee's going to have the offensive success Saturday.
Scott Stanley says it is new, the Tennessee woo. He's in prime form this week, by the way.
Oh, and, I bet you he's having – oh, he's going to have such a fun week leading up to it.
Oh, man, it's already been quite something.
I need a simulcast of you two.
We're probably not going to be in the same room when this is going down.
Yeah, that would be amazing if you guys can pull that off. Rebecca says band added it late 90s, early 2000s, and it stuck.
Okay.
Does that sound feasible?
I mean, that would be why it's not new to me because,
woo!
You know.
Stupid.
That's my childhood. So, yeah.
I'm just casting.
You're hurting little
Your worst take of all time, including your bye week take. We'll continue to take a look at Tennessee and Alabama. Coming up next, we'll give our initial thoughts on the matchup itself. Take your thoughts as well on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
We're waiting for the woo.
Yep.
Okay, great song. Great. I love the tune.
I mean, 100,000 people all wooing at the same time. That's not, like, kind of cool to you?
I like the singing of the song.
Your worst take ever.
I think it takes away from it a little bit.
Worst take of all time by Joe Rexroad. 615-737-1025. Welcome back into Robbie and Rexroad. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda J. Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Tuesday morning. We'll have Steve Lehman from News Channel 5 coming up at 8 o'clock. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans, including should the Titans pursue DJ Moore at wide receiver. All that coming up at 8 o'clock. Right now, taking our first look at the matchup itself between Tennessee and Alabama coming up on Saturday, and it's going to be a doozy. Number 3 Alabama, number 6 Tennessee at Neyland Stadium. Joe, I was looking around on the FanDuel Sportsbook right now. Alabama, 7.5-point favorite on the line coming up on Saturday. What are your initial impressions of this matchup? Obviously, Tennessee has been really good so far this year. Their offense is, I think you could make a good argument, the best offense in the country thus far this year. What do you make of this matchup for Tennessee, and what has to go right for Tennessee to win this game outright at home on Saturday?
You got to find some stops. And to me, you find stops because of your pass rush. So that's where I start is, can you get after Bryce Young, get him tackled? Because, you know, he's not a great runner, but he is a great evader of rush. And a great evader of rush who keeps his eyes downfield and makes you pay when a clock goes to another second and another one. You know, someone is getting open, he's making a great throw. He's a great player. And Bama's going to have big plays, and Bama's going to score points. And they're, you know, like, you're going to have to score a lot of points to win this game, of course. I think Tennessee can't. But can you get yourself some stops? Can you get a strip sack? I mean, Bryce Young, you're not going to bait him into too many interceptions. And like Caroline said, the secondary is the obvious and clear weakness for the Vols. Like, I think Christian Charles isn't far sometimes. I mean, he could be a good player. And Kamal Haddon is – he's active. He's always, you know, he's always around the ball. He is boy, is he fiery out there. And at times, he's pretty good. I mean, I like Kamal Haddon, who the LSU PA announcer called Hayden all day, which is very annoying to me. But those guys are – I mean, it's just a tough scene. And now Jalen McCullough, I expect him to not be in this game. Josh Heupel didn't really say anything about that yesterday, but I would not expect him to be on the field. So what are they going to do there, by the way? You know, you've got McDonald has kind of played that star position, but they've kind of – mixed in different people there too. I guess I would maybe expect him to be back there with Flowers, possibly.
Well, I wonder if D. Williams gets a look
or
this
week. D. Williams, and who had a great punt return.
He had a great punt return, and Heupel was glowing about him after the game in terms of the punt return and how much confidence they have in him back there. And he's missed the majority of this season thus far with an injury. But Heupel last week even talked about how, you know, during fall camp and in the spring, like, they loved what they saw from him at corner. So I wonder, you know, he was like the number 8 junior college cornerback or something like that. You know, I wonder if he gets a look a little bit more often playing corner as the season goes on here. And does that start this weekend against Alabama? There's a couple of things that are really interesting to me about this, that Tennessee's, I think, going to have to win these battles if they got a chance to win this game. Number one, I would expect Gerald Mincy to be back in there this week. I don't know what happened on Saturday, but I think Heupel basically all but confirmed he's going to be back in there coming up on Saturday.
Yep.
So the offensive line has been very good so far this year, both in the run game and in protecting Hendon Hooker as well. They have not seen anything like what they're about to see coming up on Saturday. And that's not just Will Anderson. It's the whole front that they're about to see. But Will Anderson is obviously the thing that makes that run. And, you know, if you watched Texas A&M and Alabama the other day, they couldn't block him. I mean, they had zero success blocking Will Anderson the whole game. So if you're Tennessee, I mean, he's going to make some plays. Can you limit how effective Will Anderson is in this game? Because that's a big deal. Like, your pass rush and your ability to protect the quarterback, I think, has been a big part of why you've been successful thus far this year. Number two, I think Tennessee absolutely needs Cedric Tillman in this game, and they need him to play. And quite frankly, I think he's going to play. Like, Josh Heupel basically said yesterday that, you know, part of the reason they had the tightrope surgery
was for this game. For this game.
So yep. I would be surprised if Cedric Tillman's not in there. And it's one thing for him to be in there. I think they need pretty close to full strength Cedric Tillman, because to me, what separates Tennessee now at this point from a lot of teams around the country, obviously the quarterback, but it's those three guys working in tandem. Brew McCoy looks really good. Jalen Hyatt looks very good. If you got Cedric Tillman along with those two right now, you know, as good as Alabama is, Tennessee's going to be able to make some plays offensively if you got all three of those guys out there running around. They just are. They're too good.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting with Tillman. And yeah, I was actually kind of pleasantly surprised that Heupel admitted that. You know, he doesn't say a lot about stuff like that, but why do I keep forgetting the freaking name of the surgery?
Tightrope
surgery, which is the quick fix on the high ankle sprain. So the idea of having him back for this game, which, by the way, remember last week, it's like, well, are you looking ahead to an LSU? I don't know. Well, I guess they're okay there.
I guess so.
But seriously, the way McCoy has emerged now, and I think it's obvious that he and Hooker have found something, you know, like they're building that, and Hyatt's, I mean, that TD pass to Hyatt was about as pretty a pass as you can throw. You add Tillman and what he has with Hooker to that? Jeez. I mean, it's absurd. And the way Jabari Small's running, too.
Yep.
It's, I mean, I'm fascinated to see, because, like, I always believe Nick Saban. Nick Saban's been known his entire career for coming up with specific defensive game plans that, I mean, look what, like Ole Miss last year was just rolling, and they just grabbed
they
him
totally
and squeezed him, you know?
Yeah.
And he's done that so many times in his career. So I'm not ruling that out either, that they'll have some way. And I think it is. It's hitting Hooker. It's getting to Hooker. but it's also winning so much up front with those light boxes that you don't let them run the ball because most teams can't do that.
Yeah.
But I gotta see it. I gotta see it to believe that Alabama's gonna get that done. The guys for Tennessee who you need Byron Young and Roman Harrison and Barron and Omari Thomas, Bryson Eason. Like, you need those guys who I think Rodney Garland continues to be just an incredibly impressive assistant with how he develops those guys, just to have huge days.
Yep.
And you know, Jahmyr Gibbs, very good player, huge playmaker, but I think Tennessee can keep him from, you know, getting the 5 and 6 yard consistent run game going. That's a big key too.
Well, the question that I have, probably my number one question heading into this game, Joe, is what exactly is Tennessee's defense? We've seen, I think, a mixed bag thus far. Sam on the text line says, I know they aren't great, but is Tennessee's defense almost underrated? The numbers don't look great, but context is key. Their offense plays so fast. They play a lot more snaps than most teams. They have to throw it a lot to keep up. They're 24th in scoring defense. Like, I thought Tennessee's defense, for the most part, looked pretty good against LSU. I thought they looked good against Pittsburgh. Now, Pittsburgh was on their backup quarterback by the time they started to look good.
They also gave up the long TD run in that game.
Well, and quite frankly, didn't look very good against Florida. He made some key plays at key times, but didn't look very good against Florida. Like, if Bryce Young is healthy, I still have major questions as to whether or not this Tennessee defense is going to be able to slow down Alabama at all offensively. And I don't know. Like, what you just brought up, I think, is key. They got to generate a pass rush, but, you know, this is not your traditional Alabama receiving core that's got, you know, Julio Jones and Amari Cooper and all these guys rolling out left and right.
No.
They're still pretty good, and they're absolutely good enough to give this Tennessee secondary problems. So that's what I don't really know about heading into this game. I don't know exactly what Tennessee's defense is right now, and I'm still not convinced that they played that great of a team yet. They're getting ready to play one coming up on Saturday.
Well, I agree. The Florida game, I still think that was also just Anthony Richardson. I think he's tremendously talented, and he had an amazing day throwing the ball. Some of that is, like, Tennessee's defense has to get some discredit for that too. But I do think that they've seen a guy who's good enough to someday play in the NFL, and he looked like it. If he played like that all the time, there'd be no doubt. I mean, he'd be a high pick. But, yeah, you're right with Bama. Jermaine Burton, Ja'Cory Brooks, I mean, they have good receivers. They do not have the NFL teams are falling all over themselves to take that guy next receiver. And, like, with Gibbs, the difference between Gibbs and some of their recent backs is he's not going to overpower you. Some of those guys would get the big play and they'd run over you and everything. He's not the complete back, but you give him space and bye. That's the thing. You can't let that happen more than, once. Twice, maybe.
Yeah, absolutely. Coming up next, it's time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. We'll take your thoughts, as always, on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Football season is underway, so now is the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, because right now new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's free bets back if your first bet doesn't win. All you got to do is just sign up with promo code ROB. Interesting weekend this weekend. The Bills and the Chiefs coming up in the NFL. Really looking forward to that game. I've got the Bills in that game. I think they've got a little bit of revenge on their minds. But you take it any way you want to take it. Just make sure you do it on FanDuel, all on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. And they've got great live betting options as well. So sign up today with promo code ROB for your no-sweat first bet. Once again, that promo code is ROB. Make every moment more this season with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. Refund issued is non-withdrawable free bets that expire in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.
The time is now for the Rex Rant.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
On Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Sorry.
There won't be a woo in this one. This is classic.
And it is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. Joe Rex Road's hatred of Rocky Top, maybe my biggest Rex Rant.
Now hold on now.
I edited in there.
Oh my God, I was going to say, if we found out that the woo goes back to like the bluegrass days, now I just have to, hat in hand, I just have to apologize. Okay, that was good editing. Yeah, thank you, Rebecca, on the text line, by the way, who says, I loathe the woo. Thank you, Rebecca. Not the woo as in the Wu-Tang, by the way. We love the Wu-Tang, but not the woo.
Y'all got to learn how to have a little bit of fun.
Let's go ahead and why don't you share your dad's text?
That's okay.
Oh, come on. No, come on.
You're going to encourage him. All right, he said, let me pull it back up. The woo sounds like one gigantic hillbilly bachelorette party, which is amazing coming from an Alabama fan.
Yeah, let's get that trash talk going.
It really gets
week.
In there.
Let's get it going.
Listen, all right. I need a play-by-play of all this trash talk between you and your dad this week.
Yeah, let's keep it all together. Let's gather it all in one place.
Yeah, it's gonna be bad.
Oh my God. So you really aren't gonna like you absolutely
oh, no
will not
I'm
watch the game
with him.
Yeah,
no.
yeah. I get it. But if Tennessee wins, I bet you're going to go find him as quickly as possible.
I will be at his house very quickly.
Yeah. Robbie will be knocking on the door.
Hello.
Hey, what are you guys doing tonight?
Anything happened?
I brought
today?
Banana pudding.
Yeah, I'll go find some. Joe, I turn things over to you for your Rex rant of the day.
Before I get into what I was going to say, can you please explain this text from Jared?
Okay.
He says, I will stop using the word dichotomy on the air if you stop reading depth charts on the air. Was I reading depth charts?
I don't think so.
Was that when I mentioned Alabama's receivers? Was I reading the depth chart?
I don't know what he's referring to there specifically.
Let me know, Jared. Let me know about that. If you can get out of hashtag Jared's film room to spend enough time.
Anywho.
That's what you mean. Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, I have a lot more problem with anywho than dichotomy. What is anywho from? Anywho and woo can both get flushed. What is that from? Anywho? Like, where did that come from?
I feel like it's like Dr. Seuss.
Sure.
Right?
Well, that's Cindy Lou Who, but I don't think Cindy Lou Who said anywho.
Let's just go with it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay. Well, I'm going to complain about something else that happened in my trip to Louisiana.
Okay.
It's
good to see you today. Glad you made it back in the clown car.
Yeah, I got the clown car still. I will say that there's a happier ending to this, because I just tested it out before the break. I thought this would add edge to the rant. It is taking a little bit off. But still, I'm looking at this driver named Samantha on the Lyft app, okay?
Okay.
I'm looking at her. I mean, well, I'm here. Let's just hand it to you.
Okay. I see.
And she looks drunk in her picture. Okay.
It's not the most flattering photo.
And I'm still mad at Samantha, okay? So this is what happened. First of all, if you, long story short, after the game, get done writing in the press box, and so I have, like, I'm meeting Katie out in Baton Rouge and some of her friends, and so, you know, I have to get a ride. So I got the Lyft, and the problem is, if anybody who's ever gotten, like, a Lyft or Uber after a game, you know, if you're at a stadium, it's kind of like there's designated areas you go sometimes, but sometimes it's like your location is here, but you could be anywhere around the perimeter, right?
Correct.
So it could take a little time. You usually have to work with the driver. Okay. So I am outside, and it says, Samantha is here. You know, you have 5 minutes. Okay. Would you like to contact the driver? Yes. Because I don't know where the heck. I mean, I asked
Good
the guy.
There's nobody around at the Tiger Stadium.
There's no one. There's no one outside. It's still light out. There's no one outside, and they don't have a designated place. Some places have zones. They don't have one there. The guy who worked there was like, "Yeah, let's go outside and talk to the driver." So I called her because you can do that. No answer. Okay. You can also message your driver. I just said, "Where are you? You know, I'm by like the LSU Sports Shop." She wrote back, I'm at the pin.
That's off to a great start.
I'm at the pin, P-I-N. I'm at the pin. Okay, so Samantha, not everybody who gets a ride from you in Baton Rouge, Louisiana lives in freaking Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Okay, so I text her, I write her, message her back. I don't know what that is. I'm not from here. But I'm going to the corner of a street. So I'm like running because I see that there's a street corner. So I can say, okay, it's the corner of this and this, and it's Torchy's Tacos across the street. So I'm like running there because it's a 5-minute clock.
Yeah.
I'm not going to mess with this. There's no way. I mean, she couldn't have been more than, even if she's on the other side of the stadium, there's no one out there. You take the, it's like it's a 30
it's
second.
A circle. Yeah.
Right. Okay, I'm at the corner of this. I'm at the corner of this right here. Or I can go, I just keep messaging just to keep the messages going. Or I can go to Torchy's Tacos, whatever you want. Nothing. No response. Try to call her again. No response. Nothing. And then I get the message. You have been charged $5 by Lyft for missing your ride.
Oh, golly, that would set me off.
I was in a complete rage.
Yeah.
I was so freaking mad. And then it's like, but there's nothing you can do.
No.
All I could do was just get another ride. And then, of course, I got another one, and he came, and it took another 15 minutes. And then I complained to him about Samantha. Like, do you know Samantha? I'm really mad at Samantha.
You need to pass this along in your Lyft circles.
Yeah. But I will say again, it's ridiculous. And I mean, like, you shouldn't be able to get away with that as a driver. Because that's what that is and for people who do these rides a lot, as you know, you get canceled on a lot if you have a short ride.
Yes.
Because the thing is, that was taken, like, it was like 2 miles away. So what happens is a lot of times drivers will just bail on you because, like, yeah, it's not worth like $6.
Well, like they'll get the $5 from bailing on you. Yeah.
Well, but
I don't even know if they get that.
Well, they shouldn't. That's the thing. If they bail, then they'll just be like, oh, we found you a new driver. Fine. This is BS. This is dishonesty as a driver. That's what it is. I mean, she just decided to stop. It was annoying to her, so she decided to stop answering me. And cost me $5. That is absolute. That should be reprimanded and disciplined.
I agree.
So as it turns out, though, today right before this segment, I just went on Lyft and I contested it, and they said, "Yeah, you can have your $5 back." So like, oh, okay. Well, at least
I was just gonna say they always give the $5 back. Also, did you notice when she said, "I'm at the pin"? It's not a place. She meant like the pin on the map.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well. The pin is the stadium.
Yeah, the pin says Baton Rouge
Stadium.
It says Tiger Stadium.
That is fair, though. That is fair. But yeah, like it was
big stadium.
It
was lady.
It's like it's on the stadium. Like, are you at the 50-yard line?
She was. That's where she was.
Should I go to the top of the stadium? And but that's fair.
Well, what I've learned is,
but then when I answer like, what is that? Where? Well, how about tell me the street? Tell me what side? What direction? North, south, east, west? Anything?
Well, what I've learned is, I guess you better watch your back in Louisiana driving cars. Like, you got Ronnie cutting brake lines out there the other day, running into your rental car, and now you got people scamming you on Lyft. Not a great spot. Keep your head on a swivel down there.
Ronnie and Samantha.
Let me tell you
what, Ronnie
and
Samantha.
You know what it was?
Communicate with people.
You had a Vol shirt probably in your Lyft profile photo.
GB Joe down there.
That's what it was,
upsetting all
Joe.
The LSU fans.
That's true. My Lyft profile is actually a video of me saying, woo, during the middle of Rocky Top.
This has been the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. The moral of the story we've learned the last 2 days is apparently just don't drive in Louisiana. Bad things can happen.
Yeah, apparently. Or just don't travel with me anywhere.
You can check it out every morning at 7:45 here on the program. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Steve Lehman from News Channel 5. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans as they head into the bye week 3-2 and ask the question, should they be interested in adding DJ Moore to their roster should he come available from the Carolina Panthers? All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.